This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go, an hour on the clock, and that's the end of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you from 1 until 4 every single day, then the Blitz takes you 4 to 7, and it just absolutely makes your afternoons better. It's Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's Nick and I here in studio. Fellas, I wanted to put this bug in your ear. Today in 2005, a fan at Yankee Stadium jumped 40 feet from his seat into the netting behind home plate because he was dared to do so by his friends. He was arrested the next day, and he was banned for life from the stadium. Now, I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
When Yankee Stadium was knocked down and they created the new Yankee Stadium, was the ban lifted?
No. He's banned from Yankee games for life.
Don't they have to remember him, too, like?
Yeah, I mean, what do you got? Every guy at the turnstiles got a list of faces. Because, like, at Toyota Center, they do that. Like, and also, there are executives that get their panties in a bunch if you don't know who they are. So, like, when you're working the elevators, like Nick and Barry, you guys, the elevator you use to go down to the press level, or anybody working, like, the aisles, you have to have, especially in the club levels, they have, like, a laminated sheet with pictures. If you don't know who those people are, you can get in big trouble. But, I mean, if you take people that are banned, like Dolan, James Dolan for the Knicks, like that guy he banned for saying he should sell the team. I mean, what, does every usher have a picture of that dude, too?
That would be weird if that's the case.
You don't pay them enough for them to remember all
exactly.
These.
Exactly.
Just grow out a mustache and wear a hat, and you could probably get in, and nobody would notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, to me, that's crazy. And there's video. I'll retweet it. But there's video of this guy who's just a complete ass clown because he looks like, you know, as overzealous as he was to think it would be a good idea, he then goes, like, plunging down, and he looks like he's hurt even though he didn't hit anything but the net. Then he's, like, trying to walk gingerly up the net to try and get back to his seat. And, like, the game stops. The players on both teams are pointing, like, what are you doing? And I'd love to have heard the post-game press conference because Ozzie Guillen was the manager on the other side. Can you imagine him just tearing this guy? Because he would have just ripped him.
Yeah, that's a weird thing when you're banning somebody from a place that holds 50,000. Like, how are you going to – you're really going to go – unless you have facial recognition software that's scanning the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Pretty impossible.
Yeah, I just don't know how you're going to enforce that. And at the same time, the guy's a dumbass in the first place.
Well, and since he's a dumbass, you know, I'm sure there's a risk of prison or jail time if you come back at trespassing. Would you risk it? I mean, how much do you love the Yankees? How sure are you that you can fly under the radar and not be seen or spotted? So,
I mean, this is when I would say, looking at the video, the kid's probably late teens, early 20s. You got to believe with any kind of facial hair or if he matured at all. Again, it makes it that much harder to identify the guy because it's real easy in these cases. Like, remember in Toronto when the fan threw the beer during the playoff game and he was banned, and you get all these different situations. It's one thing to say it publicly and look like you did the right thing by saying they're banned for life. Even the guy that had the courtside seats in Utah that got into it with Westbrook. But how do you know if he's sitting in the second deck?
Yeah.
That's the thing to me. How do you enforce that?
Walt had a question for us.
All right.
On the text line, he said, ESPN was talking about Mike Trout's war, and it's among the all-time greats. But what I don't understand is how your wins above replacement can be great without a great team win record. Do you want to do it or you want me to do it?
This is right down your wheelhouse.
So, Walt, I think what it is, you have to remember that war is really, it's not about the team value and it's not a concrete number of wins. It's saying how many wins Mike Trout is worth above an average guy who would be, or a replacement player or a minor leaguer that comes up that's worth literally zero. So the starting point is always zero, as in you have no material effect on the outcome of the game for a team game in and game out. And then you'll see it kind of grow as you have success in the field. And it also, it's adjusted based on position. So at shortstop, it might be different than a first baseman, even if they had equal numbers, because there might be a lot more better minor leaguers at first base than there is shortstop. So the value at shortstop goes up for wins. So what they're saying is Trout, without that team, that they would be even worse, and he's responsible for a certain number of wins on his own, and by the way he plays, even if he doesn't get the game-winning RBI or whatever. So right. I hope that explains it.
I'll take my shot at it now. No, I won't. You could not have said it better than
just
you.
Just wait till we'll I right till there. I get yeah. done and then
we'll,
do it.
We'll just leave it right there. That was the perfect explanation.
All right.
Yeah. Anything else on the text line worthy or?
No, but speaking of baseball, I did want to mention the fact that, you know, when Brad Peacock comes back, he may be coming back to the bully and not into the rotation. When you think about it now, with the addition of Sanchez and Greinke, those are five slots. I feel like they're in love with Sanchez, even though he had a bad year, worst ERA among starters in baseball. But they love the spin rate on his curveball. They want him to feature that four-seam fastball-curveball combination. So it's looking like, hey, they think they can do with Sanchez what they've done with so many other pitchers that they've brought in and made him better, because his stuff seems to be good. He just wasn't getting the results. So they think they can fix that, which gives you a luxury. It makes your bullpen better. It gives you a little depth in that bullpen if Brad Peacock can go and do what he did in the past from the bully.
No question. And here's the other thing. I want to see what he does. Sanchez does in his second start, because the other thing was the percentage of fastballs thrown and how much more frequently he was throwing the off-speed pitch. What I really get a kick out of is all the national media types that are saying, God, he just started working with Brent Stroman. Look what he's been able to do. Brent Stroman's been in the hospital. Okay, so what he's been able to do so far is fit into the Astros system, and like you said, it's more about the way their philosophy goes towards approaching hitters and the amount of a certain pitch you throw. But I think that the bigger picture is when Brent Strom does get back, there is a chance that he can improve even more. But for me, I want to see this start coming up, this next start, to see if he stays as consistent as he was and as effective in the first game. Because we all saw Corbin Martin in his first start, and we were like, oh, this dude's the next coming of a young, spry arm that's going to be in the Astros rotation for a long time. And then he proceeded to have two or three eggs after that he laid. And so I'm interested to see what Sanchez does coming up in his next start.
Only point I would make about the Brent Strom thing is it is Brent Strom, but it's more than that. It's the analytics department. It's the people that break down the film and the pitches and where and all that. So I'm sure they're still working with him in the absence of Brent Strom, but he's the guy that stands there and helps him. But again, there's a lot of pitchers on this staff too. Like you saw Verlander showing Greinke how to grip a fastball in a different way to increase the spin rate. So he'll get a lot of that. But I think the big thing is for him, because there's no denying some of the stuff that he has is good, but it was selection and it was what you use to set up what. And I think they really want him to feature that four seamer with the curveball and get away from some of that other stuff. So that might be, you know, all that he needed to make him better. Who knows? But I'm with you though. I want to see it more than one time, because there's a lot that goes into that one versus the consistency of the remainder of the season.
No, yeah, and I totally agree with you. It is a system, and I totally believe that. But if the one thing that I kind of notated when they were talking to some of the new pitchers, and they were talking to Chirinos about the actual catcher meeting with the pitcher kind of conversation since he got to work with Greinke and some of the new pitchers, and he said, look, the one thing that's missing is when Stromy's in those meetings with us, that's when he's really preaching. That's when he's talking about philosophy and system, as well as this hitter does this with tendencies. And so I guess they have, much like two hitting coaches, I would assume that they have someone that fills in from a pitching coach perspective, but I don't think that they're too deep at a pitching coach. Do you?
No. I mean, there are those other guys, but I think they just have him as the pitching coach. But again, there's plenty of guys that know the art of pitching on that staff, whether it's in the film room or whatever. So, yeah, I think that they're still going to be able to make progress with him. But who knows? Maybe Brent Strom is that valuable and they can't do what he does.
Yeah, I kind of believe that whatever the magic is, that, you know, I believe he can make Sanchez even better when he gets back to working with him, but they just need to get him back.
Somebody said, oh, this is a weird text. I don't know. Have you ever used Vivid Seats?
Is that porn? Oh, no. No, I have not.
No. Somebody texted and said, don't buy tickets to Astros games from Vivid Seats. The Astros do not accept the tickets on the app. It's total BS. It took me an hour to get into the game. They said you have to get tickets from StubHub or MLB Ballpark app or have printed tickets. Vivid doesn't give you printed tickets. Says you use your smartphone.
Now, that's something that should be clearly notated on the site, on the Astros site, and everywhere that they possibly can post it, because that fan shouldn't pay the price for the lack of information being provided. Because, you know, when I was with the Rockets, they switched from Ticketmaster to a different ticketing system. And then people start, they went out of their way to make sure that they announced where you could go to get the tickets for all events at the Toyota Center, because it wasn't like it was with Ticketmaster. And they overpublicized. If you're not publicizing that, and then you got a fan that misses an hour of a game because of it, you got to give that fan some kind of a tickets to another game or take care of him, because that's not that fan's fault.
Well, and there's also a ton of fine print and stuff that we're supposed to read, but nobody does.
Yeah.
Like, I'm over here, or I went to the Vivid Seats website, and it says 100% buyer guarantee, valid tickets delivered in time for the event, or your money's back, secure transactions based on full service customer care, and then they give refunds. But it doesn't, I don't see anything that stands out that says you know, you have to print it out.
Yeah, that, again, if
it seems like it would be buried somewhere,
then that's either a refund or you get another game somewhere down the line, because that's something you got to take care of. Or those,
but it's also not the Astros'
back.
Fault. I mean, it's also not the Astros' fault if Vivid Seats isn't making it clear.
But the Astros, the NBA, have a clear cut. This is your fan ticket destination if you don't have tickets for a game and it's sold out, much like NBA does at, what is it, NBASeats.com or whatever it is. And so if you're going to only have that main provider that's supposed to be handling this stuff, you need to make that very evident to fans too.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. It's the final hour of the show. Plenty more to get to. Barry's in Arkansas. Nick and I are here in Houston, and wherever you are, we appreciate you having us on the radio right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I don't know if y'all have experienced the United States Border Patrol lately, but these motherfuckers have a lot of attitude, because they just come up on your car, right? They're just like, hey, lower your window, sir. La ventana, la window. U.S. citizens. I'm all like, yes, sir. Are you? I didn't say it out loud. I thought it in my head. Because I was confused. I'm like, man, they using beaners to catch beaners. Wait. The f***? Ah, sí, cabrón, espérate. Hey. Bring me the German Shepherd. Hey, el Scooby-Doo. El Wawao.
There's our comedian of the week, Chingo Bling, friend of the show, funny dude, in town this weekend. If you have nothing going on and you want to be highly entertained, check him out at the Improv.
Yeah, good stuff, man. And he had to add shows. A couple of them sold out already. Rarely do you see two shows on a Sunday. I think there's three shows Saturday, so go check him out, man. Support local. It's not often, I'll be honest with you, it's not very often at all. Ali Sadiq and Chingo Bling are the only Houston comics I know that headline the Houston Improv on the weekends. So it's important that we support our hometown folks, and especially. So get out there and go support it. And it's a fun time. It'll be a good show, I promise.
No doubt
about it. Hey, el Scooby-Doo!
Kind of like that one, didn't you, Nick?
I like when he was like, Yerman Shepherd.
Can you imagine Chingo Bling and Jim Adler doing a commercial together in Spanish? Oh,
that would be top notch.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah.
They should be working on that as well.
For sure.
I don't know if where you're at this, Barry, but people are losing their mind over Bo Bichette with the Blue Jays. Every time I heard something last night, I was like, easy now. This is exactly what Barry was talking about with Yordan Alvarez. The fact that everybody's losing their mind and already putting this guy into, like, the rookie of the year conversation, going, oh, my God, just give him another month or so. And you know, the MLB Network had four, you know, must-see, must-watch guys that are rookies. They didn't have Alvarez, but they had Bo Bichette. It's like, look, I get it. He's off to a hot start. But it's exactly what we were stressing to you with Alvarez. It's still the big leagues. These are still really good players and great pitchers. And you know what? You're going to level off a little bit, but You know, not since Ted Williams in 1939 have we seen extra base hits in 9 straight games as a rookie. He did that last night.
Wow.
Doubles in 9 straight games as well. He's obviously really fitting into a Toronto team that if they keep that nucleus together, and we look at how the Astros were built, but when you talk about the likes of Guerrero and Biggio and Bichette and Gurriel and the guys that they have there, for all of their struggles with that tough division and having to give up guys like Stroman and others and be sellers, not buyers, look, that core could be really good for a long time.
They should change the name of that team like to the Toronto Suns or the...
That's pretty good.
The Toronto relatives, because it's all people that are relatives with Gurriel and of other baseball players. Or the
it's a
Bezos
relatively good
that.
Idea. I think you should probably try and do something with that.
So I guess what you're saying with Bichette is that he's been playing pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Yep, that's kind of what I was saying. Yeah.
Is that right, Nick?
Absolutely.
Did I do it right or no? I didn't
that
do it right.
That was pretty good. It sounded like a hungover pretty good.
Yeah,
but,
it didn't.
But
do I sound hungover?
You really do.
You sound tired.
Yeah. Yep, all day you have.
You sound like you do what I do every day. Or you did what I do every day yesterday at whatever club.
No, I had one drink. That's it. I always have one drink on stage.
Well, that means he was drunk.
No.
One drink.
No. Get
out of
here.
Can't handle your whiskey, bro. You have like half a cup of whiskey and you're like... cursing me out and throwing insults at Joel.
Who said that?
Punching people.
No.
Walking into Forever 21.
I drank a lot that day.
You sure
okay.
did.
And I cured my glaucoma, if you know what I'm saying. No. I'm not hungover at all. I feel other than I thought
no,
I was having a
tired.
Stroke earlier.
I was just kidding. You sound tired.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I thought I was having a stroke earlier. That's why I had to go eat Cheetos. I was getting those stupid squiggly lines. What are those called? An ocular migraine?
Whatever you said, sure.
I was getting them again.
And the solution is Cheetos?
No, but I was like, maybe my sugar's low. I don't know what's going on.
Did you have coffee today?
I did.
Enough?
Yeah, I went to Dunkin' Donuts and got a big old coffee and I'm sitting here drinking a Diet Coke. So I don't know what's going on.
So you're already back on all the caffeine?
Oh, yeah.
That whole other thing's over with.
I mean, I'm still doing it, but I was like, whatever. I'm just gonna drink. I can't. I gotta have my caffeine.
Dude, it was only a matter of time. It was inevitable.
Of course, it's like I was supposed to drink water. I don't drink water. I drink Diet Coke.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much
know.
What you do.
You know? Yeah,
yeah. I get a friend of mine, Tracy, that does the same thing. She hates water, can't stand the taste of it, but she'll drink Diet Coke with the best of them. So,
yep, I won't give it up. I know everybody wants it and says it's bad for me, and that's fine, but not giving it up.
I saw this story I want to run by you guys. A buddy of mine found it, sent it to me. Kind of different, okay? American basketball player by the name of DJ Cooper.
Oh, I love DJ Cooper. No idea who that
playing
is.
Playing overseas, okay? And the name's not important. The story really is because of the fact that he was playing for AS Monaco late in 2018 and then took a leave of absence for family reasons. Then he has attempted since then to try and come back. First, it was with the Bosnian national team as a naturalized player. But now the former Ohio University standout was trying to, again, try and get back into international competition playing basketball. So he had to take a urine test, like everybody does, a drug test. When he peed in a cup, one thing came back just a little unusual, fellas. Test said he was pregnant.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oopsie. When you're going to try and fudge your urine test, probably best if you don't use a female's urine sample.
I wonder if he tried to explain it. He was like, no, but like, you know, it's going to be like a butt baby. Like, how do you explain that away? Like, well, okay, cat's out of the bag. I'm transgender. And no, bro, you can't. You really messed this up this time. What are you doing?
Funny you say cat's out of the bag, too, because in doing further testing, it revealed he used the urine of his girlfriend, who probably didn't know that she was pregnant.
That's even worse.
That is worse. That's how you find out.
You know what would have really been funny, though? If the pregnant woman was... You know, if she failed a drug test for marijuana or something, you know, that would have been hilarious.
If while she was high,
that would have been
great. I thought, but with Joel, I swear to God, when you said funny you say cats out of the bag.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me that it was cat urine and the cat was pregnant. And I was no, my God, that would be even worse.
That would have been hard, too.
We have good news and bad news. The good news is you have 8 lives left. The bad news is you're a cat and you're pregnant. So,
Dude's getting killed all over the place. They suspended him. FIBA, the governing body of international basketball, suspended him for 2 years. So not eligible to come back until June 20th of 2020, I guess. And well, now there, I mean, there are websites all over that have this dude's picture with the word pregnant underneath, and it says DJ Cooper, pregnant or not.
It's probably for the best, though, because he's not going to be able to play anyways. He's got to stay home and take care of the kid. So a couple years, he can bounce back. Kid will be in school, kindergarten, and then he can play again. So that's good.
Just to, I mean, seriously, under the file of not so smart.
He better hope he can appeal that. And hopefully, I don't know how they do it.
How are you appealing that?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, for like a reduction. And I mean, 2 years is a long time. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying that's a long time to miss practice or miss.
I don't
think
it's long enough if you're that stupid.
Well,
you get a pregnant woman.
I just don't know if there's like an appeals process for FIBA where you can reduce it, you know?
Or just tell him, watch his face when you go, by the way, we found out you used your girlfriend's urine, and we had to tell her that the results came back that she's pregnant. So we've already informed her.
No, the only thing that would have been worse is like, oh, and by the way, it's not yours.
Well, yeah, that's the other
that
thing,
that would have been worse.
That would have been fantastic. But, yeah, so he got 2 years suspension for using the girlfriend's urine.
Wow.
My people are having a field day on social media with this clown. You know, how are you going to go back? And you know what? After 2 years, you're going to join a team. You don't think the guys in the locker room are going to give you a hard time about that?
Oh, of course they are.
They're going to hammer him for that, yeah.
Of course.
All right. Well, we've got a half hour to go on the show as we continue to roll on an FEF Friday. That means 30 minutes on the clock and still opportunities for you to join the show. If you'd like to on the HR&P listener line, it's 713-780-3776. Text that number, call that number, or hit us up directly on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Back for the final 30 minutes. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Final half hour of the show on a Friday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on a ride all week long and another good week for the suspects. Barry, I assume everything going the way it should. You'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, if I make it back.
If you get any more energy, it's going to knock us all over.
I feel great. Well, I don't know why you guys
I wish you sounded like you felt. Let's just put it that way. So you're not going to believe this.
I bet I will.
Okay. So yesterday,
don't believe it.
We wanted you to look at the feet of Antonio Brown with the frostbite from the cryo machine, right?
Okay, yes.
Now, whether this is spin or this is truth, they are saying that his real issue is the fact that the NFL won't allow him to wear the helmet that he wants to wear, and they are going to quote-unquote force him to wear one of the helmets that they have sanctioned to be a part of the league. And it gets better or worse if you're a Raiders fan, because he's now informed Raiders officials he will not play football again unless he gets to wear his old helmet. This dude can't not get out of his own way.
So, well, first of all, I know that they were saying that, like, he's not been in touch with the Raiders, or that there's been radio silence from his camp. But then somebody else said, well, that's not necessarily true because there's a crew following him around with Hard Knocks, but that the Raiders haven't heard from him or something. So, one, that's not a good sign. And now you got this. And I say I didn't hear this story about the helmet until you just told me. Mm-hmm. But my initial thought was I kind of get it, though, from the NFL's perspective. Because if you've got all these lawsuits about CTE, you've got all these brain injury issues, and you're trying to control that – one of the biggest ways you can control that is by regulating the helmets that gets used on the field of play. So if you're going to play this game in order to help prevent brain injury, we've approved these helmets. I get it. That's my initial thought. I don't know what the reason is for the old helmet. Maybe he feels like it's safer than the newer ones. I don't know. But if I'm the NFL and I'm going through all these lawsuits, hey, you got to play in these helmets because we're trying to protect ourselves and the shield and you.
And here's another kind of a caveat to this whole deal. The NFL policy announced in April punishes the team if any player wears a prohibited helmet. So it behooves the Raiders to be on top of this to try and solve the problem. So they have been sending all these different approved, mandated helmets to AB saying, hey, try this one out. And he's not interested in wearing any of them. And he says the new helmets that he's tried, they protrude out and interferes with his vision when trying to catch a football. Therefore, he will not wear any of them. And you can see where this is going, too. If this guy who's just an attention whore from the whole Steelers situation all the way to here, when you get to the point where you can see him now making this a lawsuit against the NFL and trying to cash in big on this thing. But the bottom line is, if you just go and play football and you play well like you're capable of playing, the whole thing takes care of itself and you're going to get all your money and all your accolades and all this other stuff. But this is just another distraction and you haven't even played a game for your new team.
Well, I do understand if you're having vision issues. Sure.
Well, but he's saying catching the football, yes.
But I get that.
Okay.
I mean, if, you know, well, I don't know, maybe his head's shaped different, I don't know. But if he's having if he's having that problem, then I don't know why you can't come to some sort of compromise or an exception or whatever. I don't know. It just, if you're the Raiders, you got to be like, oh my God, why are we going through all this?
Well, Gruden already said on Hard Knocks and other places, he sat down with Sal Palantonio, too, where he said it's like a kid waiting for Santa Claus. He's like, I'm waiting to unwrap this new toy and let him go, and I can't. And now you've got this wrinkle to the feet issue, to all the other issues that have surrounded this whole deal. And obviously with Hard Knocks following him, I mean, of course he's still going to have a camera crew, so he's still getting all the exposure in the world. He's not playing the game. And a couple years, this is the interesting thing too. A couple years ago, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and a couple other guys who had suffered concussions and other head injuries, they had their own specific helmet that they felt worked better for them in terms of safety. And eventually the league ended up adopting that helmet and approving that for use in the league as well. So you got to, obviously with, like you said, with CTE and other things, you got to believe the league's on top of this. And there has to be a way that takes the design. They should just be able to take, it's like when with golf clubs or anything else, take the prototype, the shape of the helmet, everything he likes about his helmet, and see if there's a way to take the best of that helmet and then incorporate the technology that's approved.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue is the whole radio silence with the Raiders. Chase Williams. Mm-hmm. Is the one that reported 10 practices into training camp, and Antonio Brown has already gone radio silent with the Raiders. They have zero clue where he is or what the progress of the foot injury is. So that was from Chase. And then, like I said, the guy from, I don't know, somewhere said that, no, there's a crew following him around, so it's not necessarily true. But I think part of the concern isn't necessarily with the helmet. But it's like, why are we hearing from the guy?
And let's also consider this. If it's not the feet, which obviously he needs to perform his job, right? So now we're hearing from Schefter and other sources all saying this is more about the helmet than it is about the feet. And we've seen him in a Raiders uniform running routes and mini camps and things like that. If that's the case, whether he's radio silent with the Raiders or not, that is a big issue. And the bigger issue, too, is, okay, then don't participate in contact drills until we get this helmet thing worked out, but be at camp every day to run routes, get comfortable with Carr, get comfortable with your new teammates and get some camaraderie and some chemistry. And then if we get to the first, whether you have any contact, any preseason games or not, if we get to the game one and you're still not resolving this issue with the league, then you can sit out the games if that's what you want to do. But at least you're still working with your new team and teammates.
Well, one of the texters had a good point too, though, is maybe some of this is just storyline for Hard Knocks. Who knows? I wouldn't put it past him or them to be coming up with some sort of plot line that to enhance the story. But again, if you're the Raiders, you got to be like, look, bro, we don't really care about that. We just want you in camp playing football.
Right.
So, yeah.
And again, there's ways around it. I mean, it, the feet are one thing. But if it truly is about the helmet, then at least be practicing in and around his teammates in meetings.
How? I mean, when did this helmet thing come out?
Today. Just while we've been on the air.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Schefter reported it 47 minutes ago.
Wow. That's interesting.
So I don't know how the whole thing plays out, but it just seems like it's more of a soap opera with Antonio Brown. And the crazy thing is he stays relevant. He's constantly in the news, and yet it's not for playing football.
God. You know, if you're the Raiders, you got to be like, really?
Oh. Hyper frustrated. And I know you're going to a new building next year in a new city, and you're hoping that between him and Gruden, those are going to be your poster boys for football and the Raiders and excitement. And now all you can do is sit there and count the ways he's not going to play.
Speaking of frustrating, we talked about failing drug tests. You see where the Cowboys' Robert Quinn suspended two games for failing his drug test. It was interesting in this case. Because apparently the drug that he's taking, he has, what is he taking it for? It's seizure medicine.
Yep,
yeah.
Seizures, yep.
It's seizure medicine. And in the 80s and 90s, it was used to mask, steroids, but he has a prescription for it. And the NFL went and saw where he filled the prescription and where it was prescribed and all these things. And I think the NFL even came out and said that they doubted that he was using it maliciously to mask steroids, but they still suspended him.
Jeez.
I don't understand. It says, his agent said that the NFL was tone deaf for its decision to uphold the suspension after the appeal. Quote, even though the NFL admitted during the hearing that it did not believe Rob was intentionally doping. So they don't think that he was intentionally doing anything, yet they still upheld the appeal to have him suspended for two games.
Oh, man.
Pretty crazy.
And you know what? The last thing you need is the NFL, which is full of inconsistencies and not keep staying consistent with past precedents and everything else, to be considered more and more like the NCAA. We have two governing bodies of two major sports organizations, and neither one of them can get anything right.
Yeah. And he's been injured, and they were thinking he might be able to make it for the start of the season, but now he's
the first two games.
Know, again, so, in a way, it kind of... You know, okay, so he gets a couple of extra weeks to recover from the injury, but still,
who was trying to take fertility medication and as part of the fertility medication so they could have a baby?
Oh, yeah, I forget who
that
was. I
don't know if it was Golden Tate or someone like that, and you're like, okay, as long as you're communicating with the league and you're telling everybody, hey, look, front and center, before any tests or any results come back, I want to let you know this is what's going on. This is what I'm taking. Whether you know it's got a banned substance in it or not, you just tell them. You got to be hyper careful with everything you put in your body when you're playing in the league, but go, hey, my doctor recently prescribed this. Send it to the league. Then you can inform them that, hey, for whatever reason, I've been taking this for medical reasons. And again, you guys can handle it internally, but when it gets out in the public and it looks this bad, it's just a horrible look.
Yep.
So, all right, before we get to the final segment.
Wow, well, real quick, I don't know if this is true. Can you – I don't have his – I need to pull up Schefter's Twitter to validate this. Well, let me see if I can find it first. I don't want to speak out of turn because I don't trust our texter sometimes with their info. But this is in regards to Antonio Brown and the helmet. So
good one here before we go to the break. Tyler Miller, who is a loyal suspect to the show, his son Bennett was admitted to Texas Children's Hospital yesterday for breathing trouble. Tonight they had tickets for Bennett's favorite The Dude Perfect show, and they weren't going to be able to make it. And the Dude Perfect guys showed up at Texas Children's Hospital and did a performance for the kids and did a meet and greet and hung out with them. So mad props to Dude Perfect for doing a really good thing for kids that really will have a brightened up day when they need it, which is great.
Very cool.
There you go. We got one segment to go on the show. We'll put a bow on it, wrap it up, and turn it over to the Blitz right at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Final segment of the show. It's the usual suspects on an FYI Friday. If you missed anything that we brought to the table today or otherwise during the course of the week, we encourage you to go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab at the top of the page. You can catch up on the hours you missed today. You can also go to Podcast Arena to figure out different shows you missed during the week. And, of course, while you're there on the website, ESPN975.com, you can follow the directions, download the app. Therefore, you can listen live wherever you go.
So Schefter is reporting, this is 22 minutes old now, that he said, and now this, Raiders Antonio Brown has told team officials that unless he gets to wear his old helmet, he will not play football again. That is per league sources. Antonio Brown believes in the new helmet that the rules mandate he wears protrudes out and interferes with his vision. The Raiders have been sending Brown other approved helmets to try out. At this time, he's not interested in wearing it. Now, there's an article that Schefter posted that I thought was interesting. So it talks about this and it gives the details, but here's the interesting part, and this is where we always talk about needing to get the full story. All right, because it sounds like, well, I don't understand, and I mentioned earlier that maybe the NFL has a reason for this. So the first part of this that I found interesting is it says the helmet that Brown is comfortable in and has worn throughout his career is believed to be the Shoot Air Advantage helmet, which the company has discontinued making and is no longer certified by the NOCSAE, the National Operating Committee for Standards and Athletic Equipment. The NFL has a policy not allowing players to wear helmets that are not certified by the NOCSAE, and that the organization rule has been that helmets older than 10 years old can't be worn. All right, so that's the first part of it. Mm-hmm. Here's the second part that's interesting. And this is a direct quote from the article. During the offseason, the NFL and the NFL Players Association added 11 helmets to their joint list of approved equipment for this season while eliminating a grace period for other models that had fallen short in laboratory tests. By the end of the last season, there were 32 players who were wearing helmets that were banned. One of them, Antonio Brown. Another one, and he's also been openly critical of the rule, Tom Brady.
And Rodgers was another one. I don't know if it finally got approved.
Those old school.
But yeah. I think Rodgers was using the helmet that Brady was using.
Think about it like this, right? So now, first of all, you've got the NFL Players Association that are involved with banning these helmets. So I imagine that, you know, it's up to him to not play football. But if you're the Players Association, these are the helmets that your union has agreed to. So yeah. you're kind of stuck. And the other part of it is the game evolves and the equipment evolves, and this would be the equivalent of somebody being like, nope, I only want to play with a single face mask bar, or, oh, nope, I feel better just playing in the old school leather helmets. It's like, no, we're way past all that, so at some point you got to move past this old antiquated equipment. So I kind of understand it, and if your union signed you up for this, that's your
union.
I just
tweeted out, with as critical as Ryan Clark was of his former Steeler in Antonio Brown when all the other stuff was going on, I'm waiting to hear what he has to say, because, you know, Damian Woody from ESPN, a former offensive lineman, just came out and said, dog, I'm dying laughing at this AB content. And so, you know, I can really legitimately see a guy that has been all about the publicity, the Dancing with the Stars, and kind of started to distance himself from what made him famous in the first place in football. I could see him, if he doesn't get his way, taking this to court, trying to make it a big deal, get a big payday and a settlement, and maybe he never plays for the Raiders.
Wow.
I think it's something that you got to factor in, that with all these different things, all we've heard is excuses and what's going on with him, and it's all involving everything but football-related stuff. Maybe he don't want to play football anymore.
It could be. Maybe he'd just rather be a celebrity than an athlete.
And then,
because at some point, there's that transition. But
sure, but he still feel like is prime for the most part. He's still one of the best receivers in the game.
Well, and slippery slope here. Once you stop playing football, you've given up the thing that's made you popular and famous.
Yep.
No, I mean, unfortunately, sports fans aren't going to care about you if you're not playing sports. So you gotta, you know, pick your battles and think about what you're doing. And hey, maybe he has enough money where he's like, I don't care. I'll live the rest of my life and be happy. I don't need this. So maybe he does. But just go out and just say, look, I don't want to play no more. I'm retiring. Don't go this route, but
he
I guess
be the first one. Said, look, there's guys that have played. You know, Chris Borland played 1 year in the league and played at a pretty good level for the Niners after going to Wisconsin and decided, I don't want to risk CTE. There's too many risks to outweigh the rewards in my mind. Personally, I'm going to walk away. We've seen guys do it. So if you're done for whatever reason and your heart's not in it, it's such a grind and it's such a physical sport that you need to be completely engaged. If that's not the case, then walk away.
Brent Walker is the one that texted it when I was like, no, I need to validate this first. But he said, I, Brent Walker, would like credit for breaking the news about AB potentially retiring. Thank you in advance. No credit to Schefter. It's all Brent Walker, guys. All Brent Walker, 1,000%. Follow
Walker,
him on Twitter.
Texas rumor breaker.
Yeah, follow him on Twitter because he's the man. He didn't get it from anyone else. It's all him.
And I'm sure he has inside sources. I mean, that, you know, and Damian Woody was also out there saying, and you hope this is true, this could save Hard Knocks. If they're covering all of this and they truly have a camera crew following him around, and if they get all of this, this could be must-see TV because you really want to get down to the brass tacks of what's really going on here. And that's the best way to sort it out between is he or is he not talking to the Raiders? What's really on his mind, who he's really talking to, is this really legit, is it the feet, is it the helmet? That's where you'd think Hard Knocks could really be a big help in all of this.
Man, it's just so much drama for one guy.
And again, it's not football related. You got enough to deal with the Raiders in terms of, is this Carr's last year? Is Gruden going to support Carr? Or at some point, is he going to pull the plug? You know, they're moving to Las Vegas. You know, you traded all these guys away and you're trying to still say they were the right moves, in especially in the case of Mac, and you trade for Brown. And now all it is non-football related stuff.
Drama. I love the drama.
You know, Gruden just behind closed doors got to be cussing his brains out.
Yeah, he is. You do anything fun this weekend?
Pretty much dealing with my pregnant wife and no real big plans. I wanted to see, again, if I was ready to go to another Skeeters game, except for they're out of town because Taylor missed the fireworks last weekend. Yeah, I'll just stop by anyway and pretend like a game's going on.
No, I meant out of town. Just go where they're at.
I'm considering it. Believe me, based on the mood swings of a pregnant woman. But no, other than that, no big plans. You? Just living the life in Arkansas?
Just working. Nicholas, you doing anything fun, buddy?
No, probably just going to go home and chill, play some video games, have a drink.
You'll be deaf by tomorrow, right?
Why?
Because you got to work with Creighton tonight.
I do at Texas Card House. So for those of you who are poker players.
There you go.
I mean, tune into the Blitz, obviously, from 4 to 7, but Patrick Creighton and I think Jason Braddock, I'm assuming he's on the broadcast officially now. So, yeah, they're at Texas Card House from 7 to 9 p.m. for those of you who are poker players.
Yeah, Abdul Foster and Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock are all going to be there broadcasting live. So go play some poker, get in the tournament, hang out and see the guys on Late Hits.
Cool deal.
And are you going to let the poker players rub your horn for good luck?
Absolutely not, sir. I will absolutely not do that.
I'm going to put it out there right now.
No, you're not.
That if you want to win, if you want good luck, it's like that oak tree at the Apollo when people would come out right before they pass.
Or the rock at Clemson.
They would pass. Are you beefing me?
Yeah.
They would pass Keke Shepherd and they would rub the oak tree. And if they didn't, they got booed or it was bad luck. So you had to. That's the same thing. If Nick is at a poker tournament, you have to go rub the horn. Or you're going to be bounced.
See, listeners, our listeners are crazy enough to do that. That's why I can't have you talk
about that. Yeah, I know, bitch. Y'all are the ones that make them come up and hug me, okay? So this is payback.
It's so funny.
So you see Nick, rub his horn. Good luck. You'll win the lotto.
This ain't Hooters, Barry. This is a poker tournament. It's
I forgot my cap, too.
Don't
so.
Care. You did?
Screwed. Totally screwed.
I'm going to just go ahead and say right now, listener appreciation party, everyone needs to rub Nick's horn for good luck for the rest of the year.
Good luck.
Doesn't matter.
But tonight, anybody that walks in the poker place is going to go, God, I don't know a soul in here. Hey, Nick! I heard Barry talking.
That's right.
Are you the Nick with the horn? That would be terrible. That would be so bad.
Man, he set you up, brother.
What's Nick's favorite TV show? Around the Horn.
Somebody said it. And you're not donging him.
Is Barry going to go through the same deal as AB if they get rid of his favorite chair in the studio? Hell yes.
I'm retiring. Farting into it.
Joel
all
is sitting in your chair
today.
Right now. He's sitting in your chair right now, and he told me in the break, and I forgot to tell you that if he starts coming to the studio before you, Barry,
yeah, I'm taking it.
That he wouldn't let you use your chair.
Yeah.
Well, so there's going to be a fight on Monday, and I can't wait.
Guess he's doing a solo show. Yeah. I ain't. That's my chair. I don't care. I have established. Just like, look, I don't come in and take the good side
solo
of the desk.
Show. Where there's, Nick could come in.
I don't take the good side of the desk where I got that stupid box and it bang. I bang my knee on it once a show. I don't beat you to the good side. So I let you established where you sit.
Nick
I established what I sit
the
in.
The second half of that, which was I'm going to scour the office and find out if there's a better chair. Because for all the chairs, we have like seven chairs in here and all of them are crap. And I like this blue chair. I'm with you. And I would obviously it's your chair. And I've already stated in the past that I'm not going to take your chair. I'm going to find another chair, though, because there has to be better than what we have.
I would agree with that. And I'm laughing because somebody texted in and said, someone should lick Nick's horn like Yasiel Puig does.
We need ban. We can't have Barry reading all the texts.
Nick, you are
he cannot be the gatekeeper anymore.
You cannot, this thing could get out of hand at the listener party.
I love this. Yeah. Now, aren't you glad that you told people to hug me, huh? And punch me in the balls at the listener party?
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say anything about punching you in the balls. Now, hug
Oh, that was Joel.
Different.
I just followed Joel. Up on a story.
I'm
going to
come up with
doing.
Something for him. I'm going to come
you
up with
were,
something for
that
him.
That was
for the
your
listeners
story about punching in the balls.
I'm sorry. No backstroking now, Joel. He's right. You did that.
You handled so the stroking next. In Arkansas, pal. We're doing just fine right here.
You're next.
All right. Well, have a good weekend. Great shows. Travel back safely. And you all Thank do you. The same. Have a great weekend wherever you may be in the big city. We appreciate you being suspects. And we look forward to tuning in again on Monday and every weekday, 1 to 4, right here on ESPN. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again next week.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.